Today's episode of eTalk Repeat is sponsored by Sam & Ash Injury Law. If you've been injured in a crash, call Sam & Ash, 702-820-1234, or visit samandashlaw.com. Sam & Ash, because you deserve what's right. All right, now let's hope and pray Sam hits all the right buttons and cues that tune we've all grown to love.
Oh, my God.
Ninth time's a charm. We got it right.
You know what?
I just like to point out that people do love the music.
Yeah.
When you hit record.
Yeah, when you get around to playing it.
You know what, folks? You can't rush perfection.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I guess that's the motto of eTalk Repeat. We've got great music, and occasionally we hit record.
Oh, my God. Folks, you don't even know what goes on. The cacophony and the chaos that goes on in the 20 minutes before we start this conversation. Yeah,
John's about to walk off the set.
I mean, I was going to go full diva on you here, okay? But now I'm back.
Violated your rider once again.
No C's candies in the studio.
I know,
what
that's unacceptable.
WF?
Well, your hosts are Sam, the crudo connoisseur, and non-tech wizard. You guys missed a fabulous 3 minutes that didn't.
It was just 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes. But I was.
It's 3 minutes in my heart.
Some of my best work.
John, apparently you've renamed yourself.
Yes, I am now John Curtis, the. Wait for it. Thesaurus is at the ready. The prolix purveyor of pleasing palate opinions.
Mm, prolix, huh?
Yeah, prolix. Now, you didn't know it until I told you.
I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was meant prolapsed.
I'm that too. prolix perfectly embodies everything about me. It means verbose, loquacious, gas bag.
Yep.
Handsome,
wordy,
obviously.
Wordy, yeah, stud muffin, all of the above. Anyway, I'm your prolix purveyor of opinions today.
And I'm Ash, the food critic in her own mind. So.
And we're not going to call you the burger slut anymore.
I know.
Burger queen.
I've been upgraded. No.
I like Principessa of Prime.
I love it.
How about that?
I just need to know how to spell it, but yes.
And we will talk like this all day today.
I had your burger.
I had the burger. It was great.
And then I had another burger. And it was also great.
In this, I can do a vague Greek accent. You do a vague Czech Hungarian thing. She's going to sound like a valley girl no matter what she does.
Oh,
rude.
No.
Offensive. Okay. And on that note, if you like what you hear,
we're sorry.
I'm sorry.
You need your head examined.
Be sure to show us some love on however you're listening, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I don't even know where else you can hear this lovely show, but review it. It helps other people find this beautiful magic.
Yeah, I know, and I'm getting good reviews.
I know.
Friends are going out of their way to tell me they like the show. No, that was not true 6 months ago, so that's pretty good.
That's great, and we have an email address, so everyone can reach out. Cheers@eattalkrepeat.com, and also socials at eattalkrepeat, all the platforms.
I still have trouble with the link, okay? But I don't want to get into my
Mister, I have nine handles. I'm John Curtis here. I'm eating LV here.
Yeah, I'm eating Las Vegas on Twitter or X.
Yeah, and I also just like to point out that it was me that sent you the link. I mean, so when you tell me that I'm not good with tech, who do you go to for tech support?
You did it.
That's how bad you're
at tech. It was a group text. He was just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and who was it that responded?
Well, anyway,
it wasn't Rocky.
I'm for a guy my age, an old, fat, washed-up windbag like yours truly.
Wow,
I'm pretty tech savvy.
You are.
But sometimes I get a little thrown by how to connect all the dots to things that are happening. Anyway, here we are, Eat, Talk, Repeat, talking about food and restaurants in Las Vegas with the merry trio right in front of you, the Three Musketeers or whatever you want to call us. But let's start with Ash Watkins and...
What am I starting with?
Are we going to talk with food news you can use or reader...
Emails.
Oh,
emails.
Let's do reader emails, listener questions.
Listener questions are great.
So, Scott.
Scott.
Scott reached out with a great, thoughtful email. He requested that we spell the name of all the restaurants we're discussing. Just a heads up, anyone, if we mention a restaurant on here, we do spell them in the show notes. So wherever you're listening, there's a little bio that tells you about the show. And in there, we tag all the restaurants and we spell them correctly.
Yeah,
so
the wonderful Lakin does it for us. Yes. And I mean, she puts it all out there. I know sometimes they're long because sometimes we'll talk about 15 different places.
Yes.
But there, if there's a social media link, she puts it in there too.
Yep.
And so it makes it easy. But yeah, I guess sometimes people are straining if they're listening in their cars or wherever, and we say something too quickly with, you know, it would be nice if we back up 5 seconds and just tell them.
But the good news is if you miss it, it's in the show notes. Yeah.
And you can always rewind, Scott. You know, you do what I do. I mean, isn't that how we all
right,
watch TV
right.
now?
Okay, okay.
You back up, back up, back up.
Tech support. And then he also asked, he goes, one of the attributes that we really don't dwell on is consistency. And he thinks it is something that really keeps someone going back. What are your thoughts, guys?
Absolutely. I think the most challenging thing with food is to deliver a consistent experience and to do it good on Monday and just as good on Friday night. And you've got, you know, different teams working.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, having the same experience, you know, 1 week and having the same deal 6 weeks later.
Yeah, I don't want curveballs. I want to know what I'm going into. Even if it's like sketchy service where it's hit or miss or whatever, as long as it's consistently sketchy, I'm okay. I at least know what I'm getting. It's just,
you know,
don't get my hopes up one time.
If you know the pizza is always going to be sort of, you know, B minus, that's what you expect when you walk in,
yeah.
right?
Don't give me one day you get an A plus pizza and then now I'm like.
Are there places that come to your mind here in Vegas that are particularly violative of this?
No. Well, we got an argument the other day. I mean, about I think our steakhouse, cooking in steakhouses is across the board great. I mean, I mean, you can like or not like steakhouses for all the different things that go on in them, but I mean, how they do certain recipes. But I mean, do you ever go there and go, oh my God, the baked potato was inedible time and it was great this other time? You're generally, you know, they're churning it out with those recipes on a regular basis, and they've got people in the kitchen that know how to do it.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Well, I want to say one thing about consistency, because it is the hallmark of a good and great restaurant. But in this age of instant gratification, I'm looking at my co-host right here, you know, which takes too long for you millennials and Gen Xers. People now rate restaurants and want quick hits to tell them where to go, which have nothing to do with the consistency that Scott was talking about. When you go to these influencers and pseudo bozo food writers who go, this place is great because I went there once and I really like the cheesesteak or the pizza or the fancy French meal. Back in the day, you know, the Stone Age, when you wrote about restaurants, whether me and for local magazines or big city newspapers or magazines, you had to go multiple times before you could even write anything on the page because they wanted to say, yes, our reviewer went there 2, 3, 4 times. But never just once, because anybody can have a good or bad day once. And these days, that's been completely lost. Because and I think it does the consumers a disservice because all you get are these quick hits, which really don't.
And they're
tell
often
you.
Paid for.
Oh yeah, well that's a whole other world. Yes,
I think that's one of the hardest things about being a consumer in today's society is figuring out what's a genuine review. And it's one of the reasons I think we have identified this show resonates with listeners is because you go and you get an experience, I go, I get a different experience, whether it's better or worse, and then Sam goes and has his own.
He gets so thrown out.
Yeah.
Not true.
But yeah, so we get to compare our experiences.
So that's why the triumvirate you got in front of you here. Yeah, I think we cover a lot of those bases, but it's too bad because that's well said, Ashley. I mean, there's the consumer is confused now because there's so much on social media about you need to go here. Oh, for the top five bun, you know, da da da. And God, so much of it is bullshit, and it's just it's tough. And you know, back padding right coming up, self-aggrandizement.
Prepare yourself.
Okay, but I mean, every place we talk about here, I've been dozens of times. I mean, Las Vegas, Phil, God bless him, friend of the show, great guy. Somebody put something about the oldest restaurants in Las Vegas on some social media platform, and Phil, who is a real serious guy about food and knows his stuff, he goes, "Oh, I've been to every one of them," and I wrote, "Phil, I've been every one of them 20 times, okay? Some Golden Steer I've probably been to 75 or 100
And
times.
Over the decades. Over the decades. Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I generally won't talk about a place if I just go there once. If it's brand new, I'll say I went once, I had a good, bad, whatever experience. But when I really come hard with an opinion, I like to think I'm backing it up with multiple visits.
Yeah, we so. Like you to do that, too, okay. Please. So. Keep you honest. Well, thank you, Scott, for your email. We also have Joey. Joey had a question and basically said, for years, Luger's in Brooklyn had the reputation of almost exclusively being able to source the best beef. Do you think Luger's product still stands above and beyond like it did before? I wouldn't know.
I'm going to say I think that now there's so much diversification in the supply chain. And there's so many
good
suppliers
point. Really good
that
point.
I think that it really some of these places have caught up and maybe even exceeded it. You know, the country used to be simpler back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Fewer sourcing options.
And Joey was right. I mean, Luger's became famous in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s with, oh, my gosh, they were in the meat market. They had their special purveyors, and they got the best of the best. But now, I mean, there's dozens the high-end restaurants in New York, Chicago, here, Los Angeles, Texas – I mean, they can all get this fabulous yeah. beef. So I think what sets Luger's apart, I think, is the aging. I mean, yeah. I love the tang and the richness of their steaks, which I don't get with a lot of other top end. But the cuts themselves are great. I think it's how they cook them and how they age them that really separates the different steakhouses from each other.
Speaking of steakhouses, Jen on Instagram wants to know Ocean Prime or Don's Prime. Battle of the Primes. I'm picking Ocean.
I haven't been to Don's yet, so I can't opine.
I'm going Ocean Prime.
It depends on what you want, okay? I think Ocean Prime is, to me, by far the best chain steakhouse in town. It really, okay. It's just great. I mean, and Don's, I guess, is sort of part of a chain because there's one in Miami Beach. Don's, to me, is kind of romantic and old Vegas vibey.
Yeah.
And Don's and Ocean Prime is more modern
okay.
with that great outdoor patio. So it kind of depends on what you're looking for. I mean, I think I like the food a little better at Don's Prime, but some of the things we had at Ocean Prime knocked me out. So, I mean, it's kind of – that's what I mean. It's a wealth of riches, an embarrassment of great steakhouses we have these days.
I know. It's tough to pick. Yeah. Vince D on Instagram. Thank you, Vince. He said Don's Prime is what he would pick until Ash puts her stamp of approval on it. So
okay.
I appreciate that listener is holding out until I can put my stamp of approval. It
yeah,
matters.
I mean, some of these things are as close as one is to two, so it's kind of hard. And I do like the beef at Luger's. I like it better than Bavette's. We'll talk about that later.
And then we've got Elliot King, who said he is a fan of yours, Sam, because he kind of aligns. Like, he's a creature of habit. He finds like 25 things that he loves in town, and it's really like 5 or 8 restaurants. So
before
there you
Sam,
go.
Before remember the great.
I'm not saying anything.
You know, a foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds.
I don't.
Which
you know
is
what?
Another
that's
way
the...
of saying people habits can get kind of restricting. You know, they're not there. It can be kind of boring.
But they're cozy.
I know, but I think I don't think Sam is that big. He's only a creature of habit in some ways. And I'm sure Elliot goes outside the box sometimes, too.
Oh, we all do. Okay, well, that was fun. Cheers, Eddie. Talk, repeat. Send us your love, hate, comments, questions, concerns. And then we got food news you can use. You ready for this rundown?
Apparently, we have a lot today.
We do. March 28th, 2024 is officially James Trees Day in the city of Las Vegas.
Got his own day. How
yeah.
about that?
Wow.
Yeah, Mayor Goodman showed up and gave him a key to the city. And I got to say, if he's not careful, I will steal that key.
Is he going to properly thank us for being providing the foundation? Because we are responsible for that. are we not?
I say we are.
I mean, who else has been thumping the drum
yeah,
for
I
him?
I need
as
my
much
key.
As
a, my own key. Yeah, yeah.
What does this key actually open? Right?
Hopefully
I mean,
the vault.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't think it's...
I'm happy for James.
To
I mean...
Oscar's Steakhouse. okay. Yukon Pizza, which was a spinoff out of the Vegas Test Kitchen, founder and owner Alex White was declared world champion pizza maker in the non-traditional category.
At the Pizza Expo.
Yes, at Pizza Expo.
Congrats to Alex. I did not
know
that.
Vegas was heavily represented because the traditional pizza was won by Truly Pizza, which has roots with Arena. Chris Decker of Metro Pizza. Vacneen of Double Zero. So those are some fun facts.
We have some major league pizza YOLOs in Las Vegas these days. Yeah. Like I said, I mean the pizza game in this town has gone from being nothing 15 years ago to being world class. I'd put it up there with most big cities now.
Evil Pie declared number one pizza place in Las Vegas by drumroll TripAdvisor.
Okay.
But hey, I'll give it to him.
We love Evil Pie. But okay.
Nightmare Cafe and Arts District closed. Margaritaville's closing. I generally don't celebrate closures, but this one I will. Is the Trevi Italian Restaurant at Caesars?
No kidding.
Just shut down overnight, and they're apparently putting in some retail spot. But I am so happy about this, and there's one reason. I've never eaten there, so it has nothing to do with the food. It's just when I walk down that hallway and I want to go toward Joe's or RPM, that wing, I have to go all the way around the fountain because of their damn patio.
So they're taking out the restaurant that is sort of taking up that right beside to the right of the fountain as you come in.
And blocks off that thoroughfare past the fountain.
I'll be darned. That, you know, okay.
Have you ever eaten there?
Oh, I've eaten at Trevi once. I ate at the earlier incarnation there multiple times back in the 90s. I mean, it was a favorite of me and one of my exes. That's enough said about that. Okay, and because it was kind of a really cool, you know, the inside outdoor, the way the ceilings, you know, moved and the fountain. It was a really big deal back in the 90s to have that restaurant there. And it was a decent, it's always been a good Italian restaurant, not a great one. But I always thought it kind of had a certain romantic quality to it, regardless of the food. But so I'm kind of sad to hear this. I really am. And do we need another high-end fucking watch store?
Do we need another Italian restaurant?
No, we don't need that either. There's plenty of good food in the Forum shops. But I know what they're going to put in, some watch store or some. Remember, at Christmas time, I walked through this place like a week before Christmas, and all these stores are empty. And they all must be paying like $100,000 a month. There's never anybody in them. They're just there as, brands to advertise how exclusive their brand is to all the tourists that come here.
But remember when replaced a fantastic restaurant with a Gucci store?
Yeah, exactly.
Recently, two years ago?
Yeah, like we need more Gucci.
We do need more Gucci.
Yeah.
Emmett Smith Steakhouse opened, I think, at the end of last month. I know.
Oh, I'm so yawn. Okay, what'd you say?
Oh, you'll go.
Steakhouse? No, okay. No. I went to Dan Marino's Steakhouse once in the that place across from the MGM, and it was horrid. Oh, my God.
Tropicana?
It's called Oyo now.
Now a Hooters.
It was a Hooters. three hotels ago, it had a Dan Marino Steakhouse, and it was just awful. I mean, these jocks that just are cashing in on a name after the 30-year-old brand is kind of pathetic.
Okay, so
you want to know how I really feel?
Yeah, I'm just pissed that they charge $8 for bread. That's bullshit. Don't charge me for bread service.
The only thing Emmett Smith should be charging for is his autograph.
Okay.
Do you even know who he is?
Oh, I'm a Cowboy fan.
Okay, fine. I didn't. I mean,
yeah,
I mean,
22.
Yeah, the last time he was a star was 30 years ago. You were like one. Okay.
Yeah, kind of. We'll allow it. Thank you for dating me. Okay. Lava Sindad Cantina on Sahara's Open. What else?
Lava Sindad is the same people from Commercial Center.
Yeah, they opened a cantina on Sahara.
Where on Sahara?
You know where that Artie's Steakhouse, below Commercial Center, or east of Commercial Center, but right
all
on.
Right, yeah. What is the status of Artie's that they've been telling us about
for
2 years?
Last I checked was a few months ago, and they were asking for like crowdsourcing of like $100 to get. Yeah, yeah. Like, that's not a good sign.
How desperate is that? Come
I know.
On.
Right.
That's not a business plan.
If it is, let me know. I'm going to start it. There's apparently some steakhouse and seafood restaurant called Leños that's going to open in historic Commercial Center. I think they're trying to make that place a place again.
Good effing luck.
Okay, and then Some Suzuya Cafe is planned to take over Half Bird.
The Half Bird place, you know.
Yeah, that's all I've got. I'm exhausted.
She had to actually do a little work today, Sam. And just
I took last week off.
I know.
Very well done. Yeah, well, it's better here with you. I'm going to be honest.
Suzuya Pastries is a big hit with the Asian American crowd. And
is it a chain?
No, I don't think so. They used to have one in the southwest part of town. It's very Japanese, and it's very much these kind of French adjacent pastries, but they're very airy and light, and you know, bean pasty, and
like cartoons. They're cartoon pastries,
and a lot of green tea and matcha this, and red
ube.
Bean that, and yeah, and I'm just. I mean,
taro.
I'm happy for them. I love the fact that they're popular, but you know, give me a French pastry any day.
Well,
I don't really like beans, and I don't really like pastes. You know, so you don't win me over with bean paste.
Oh, yeah. I got into a big bean paste argument with our friends at Dim Sum the other day. Asian American friends.
Why?
They were like, "It is so good, John. Why don't you like it?" I went, "It tastes like wet cardboard. That's why."
Cardboard, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Not just cardboard, not dry cardboard.
Yeah. Well, they're both
wet.
Asian.
It's wet aged.
And I think it's something you have to be raised with, you know. So who knows? Okay, that's food news you can use. Good, Ash. Well done. Where have we been this week? Because one of our loyal listeners, Sid Spiegel, my buddy Sid, gave us some real props this week. He kind of gave me a capsule review of what he liked about the show. He said, "You're so much better than a lot of other food podcasts because
you
bring it in on time. You always leave us wanting more. You don't interrupt each other too much. Except to insult Sam or each other once in a while.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, and he liked it. He said that he finds it just the back and forth about where we went and why we liked it or didn't like it. He said it's very, very, and this guy is a pro. I mean, I'm using a pseudonym, but Sid has been in the food and beverage world here in town for 30 years, worked on and off the strip, knows the wine trade, knows restaurants, and he's a real pro, and he said that's what people want. They want to hear about, "I went here," and Sam gives his perspective. You're in mine, you know, I come in with my irascible opinions, but I think it gives people the food news they can use.
Well, thanks, Sid.
Yeah.
That's what keeps us going.
The only thing I can't forgive Sid for is the fact that he lives in Hendertucky.
Oof. Okay. Well, Half Bird's over there now.
I know.
And Aroma.
And he likes Aroma. He likes Ventana. I asked him,
Aroma?
How can you square?
Oh, yeah.
In Cochina.
I said, I looked at him square. When he's giving me all these compliments, I look right at him and say, "Sid, how can you square knowing so much about food, wine, restaurants, a real pro for decades, and you live in Hendertucky?" And he goes, "Well." So he gives me the rundown of where he likes to go.
Did he say, "I have a car"?
Well, because he works on the strip. He likes the fact that he can get easy access to the strip. But I asked him for his list of where he likes to go in Henderson.
Ooh, let's
hear it.
This
is good.
Okay, this is good.
And he was really funny, and he said, "Okay, here." I said, "Come on, tell me you're forced to live and eat out in Henderson. Where do you go?" And he gave me his list. He goes, "I Heart Sushi." He says, "Good for lunch. Get sushi lunch. Hard to find good sushi at lunch, and they do a pretty good job. Ventano's and Gaetano's." He'll tell you straight up, not the best high-end Italian in town. Mm-hmm. Very serviceable right there. Those Guys Pies. Big City Pizza. Wonderful cheesesteaks. He loves those. The Codfather.
Yeah,
for fish
it's right
and chips.
Over there.
It's a storefront. It's a hole in the wall, but he loves it. Aroma, Latin American.
He's living
Cofina.
In that little shopping center.
And then he threw me a curveball. He said, a Café Duval. For its little French cafe, which is on Horizon Ridge. And then he said, "Have you been to Harold's Fried Chicken?" And I went, "No." He said, "It's really, really good fried chicken."
What?
So there's one we may have to go.
Pack the wagons.
I know, venture into the wilds of Henderson to find Harold's. So, so Sid knows his stuff and can't wait to go. So there are places he's found in the desert, the culinary desert of Henderson that he likes.
Harold's. Okay, I'm going to have to remember that.
Harold's Fried Chicken. Gotta
All right.
go.
All right. Do we want to take a break? I don't know what we do, Tech Wizard, before.
Well, I think we just take a break. We can declare a break.
So declareth.
Hey, it's Ash, your favorite host of the show. I just know it. Look, besides exploring the Las Vegas food scene, my life's passion is being an injury attorney. So if you or a loved one needs dedicated and passionate legal representation, call Sam & Ash Injury Law. I promise our team will fight for your recovery even more than Sam does to get a word in during this podcast. Again, if you or a loved one needs an injury attorney or simply has legal questions, call 702-820-1234 or visit samandashlaw.com. That's 702-820-1234 or samandashlaw.com. Sam and Ash, because you deserve what's right. Now back to the food, because let's face it, that's what we're all really here for.
You know, now when the song, because I actually have the song on one of my playlists in the car, and when it comes on, I immediately get hungry.
A Pavlovian response.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't start drooling,
but I do get hungry.
I like this music a little bit more than the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to play the worst one in the very beginning just to get you a little grumpy.
All right, let's do our restaurant rundowns.
Welcome back to Eat, Talk, Repeat. We're here.
Okay. What's right, Sam, Ash Watkins, and me, John Curtis, your prolix purveyor of palate-pleasing opinions.
Please, keep reading your Post-it note because you can't even remember it.
I had to get it in one more time.
Can we put that in the show notes? Like, because people need to learn how to spell prolapsed.
Prolix, P-R-O-L-I-X.
Okay. My bad.
All right, let's go through our restaurant rundowns. Who's going first?
Why don't you guys go first? You went to Bavette's.
We have one to share together.
It's cute.
We went together.
We did.
I dragged John's reluctant ass into Bavette's.
Did you bring a flashlight, John?
Well, he actually got the best lit table in the whole place. We got a little side room that was wonderful. It was the acoustics were great. The lighting was great.
We saw our food. We had. By the way, I've been telling you for years now. It's not as dark as you remember it. But you know, tell me this. Last time you went to Bavette's, you've been grousing about Bavette's this whole time.
Yeah.
How long was it before we went last week?
When did it open?
Before my time.
I went three times in the first 3 months. Okay, but that had to be 5 years ago.
It was over five years ago.
Okay, so that had to be, and I haven't been back in 5 years. And I always liked it. I thought the burger was great. Thought the burger was spectacular the other night. Of course, come on, I made a promise to myself. Let's don't dwell on burgers.
I'm dwelling on the burger. Okay. Don't let the trolls get to you, John.
All right, I won't. Okay.
We had a troll try and claim that we've jumped the shark on the burger obsession. And it's wrong because it's not a creative bit. I love burgers.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking about food we love, and there's a lot of good ones. And yes, the Bavette's burger is an umami bomb. It is so soaked with cheese. The beef is good. I mean, it just comes together in this kind of gestalt of great beef eating. And I will say that, and that's the last word on that burger, because it's
fantastic. Sold me on it. I looked at the picture you posted, and I go, and I came back with the old Bavette's burger.
This one was juicy, and I mean, I like the way the cheese kind of melts into the double patty there, right? I mean, and it's...
I'm going to have to go try that one, and I'm going back to Nico's because that burger.
Okay, Nico's good.
And I'll say I think Vegas has an incredible burger scene.
Me too.
Well, I mean, we have some all-star contenders
here. We got all the great beef.
No argument for me. I mean, there are places that have great burgers that don't even come up on the show.
Also, the reason burgers are great is because you get in one meal everything you need. You have a salad. You got bread
veggies.
Service.
You get some sauce.
You get some protein.
You get some vegetables. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's like an MRE, right?
Yeah, it's
right there.
It's the whole food pyramid, right? On a plate.
Well, and it's also, I mean, let's be honest here. It's also, you can go to these great steakhouses, and if you don't want to plop down $80 for a steak, You can.
It's a hack.
You can and it serves two.
And you're getting fries with it typically, which normally would be a side you're paying for. So it's truthfully for people visiting Vegas. You want to go out to a nice steakhouse. You don't want to break the bank. Exactly.
Yeah. Burgers are recession proof.
They are. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're getting expensive too. Granted, but they're still. It's you know, you're paying half the cost of what you'd be for a big steak.
So, I mean, I would say, but this Bavette's burger I had. And, oh, by the way. I thought we ordered two. Sam ordered four burgers for four people. Okay.
Yeah. That's and a it was, much. I may have overordered, but here's the thing. What we determined is that they were, after tasting them all, they were all good.
Well, we ate it. The food gal and I ate one whole one, and then we took half of one home. You ate one and a half. And I don't know what happened.
I wasn't going to leave an incredible burger there.
It's really good.
I grew up poor. I'm going to eat what's on my plate.
I got one criticism of Bevette's, and it has nothing to do with the food. The food's
good.
That
they bring out ketchup?
No. Unless you live on the Strip or are a tourist, it is a pain in the neck to get to. I mean, locals are going to have a strain to go there. It's the least accessible steakhouse, I think, on the Strip, other than the one in Planet Hollywood, Strip House in Planet Hollywood, I think so. And that's just I mean, you can drive right up to Ocean Prime. You can get right in and out of the Venetian Palazzo.
You don't even drive.
I know, but I'm just saying, that's the thing I didn't like. And I one other tiny hyper food critic
These
criticism.
These are my favorite.
We ordered the Chicago Cut, which is a ribeye. They brought us the Strip. And it was a decent strip, but it wasn't a life changing strip steak. It was simply good.
So you were underwhelmed by the steak itself,
but everything else was just top flight. I thought the wine list was nice, the service was fantastic, and we're busy night. I mean, they know Sam there, so I thought they really took care of us very well, and it was just a really pleasant place. And the other thing I didn't like, and this is true all across the board. It's a very classy atmosphere in there. Very nice. Classy with a K. But you've got that whole Golden Knights thing where you've got people dressed up, women who look great, and then there's like four guys with baseball caps and T-shirts on.
Yeah,
and
it's kind of like, I just roll
my eyes. It's not a Golden Knights thing. It's these guys are like just rubes in there from. Yeah, well,
and they're not just in Bavette's.
They're everywhere.
50 other restaurants that night too.
Yeah, Bavette's has become like an unofficial tailgating spot for people before and after the game. So
that's just old fart guy complaint there. So Bavette's. Where else did you go? Where else have we been?
Well, I went finally to Miho at Durango,
the
high-end Mexican restaurant there that's on the the east side of Durango.
Important fact.
Well, I'm just telling you, you know, I'm very
– Come on.
When I first moved to Vegas, I didn't know where any of these directions were. And when I finally learned where northeast, southwest. I want people to know how I've acclimated.
It was the northeast corner, not the southeast corner. Okay, what?
All right. Shut up, both of you.
Okay, sorry.
I love you, but really. Okay. Can I say it was exceptional?
What'd you have?
So I had.
Spell Miho.
I had Mijo.
Oh, Miho, Miho.
How is that?
I don't speak Mexican, but I think it's pronounced Miho. Okay.
Get out of here.
All right.
Anyway, you like it.
So here's the thing. A lot of great spices. Everything was super fresh. The tacos were good. We ordered some tacos, and I had the crudo. I had this.
Snatch.
Thank you.
Yeah, crudo. I had their guac. You know, it's the simplest thing, right? Yeah. But it's like but their guac was incredible. And I had my first thought leaving there was, this is what Viva at Resorts World should have been.
Ooh, shots fired.
And you know, Viva.
Well, BS Taqueria is right across the street too, you know.
Yeah, which is.
This restaurant is, everything was perfectly executed. It was it was busy. I think I went on a Monday night.
Do you need a reservation?
I would recommend it because I walked in and I had to wait a little bit. I had, you know, gave some money to the gal at the front and greased some wheels. But it was busy. It was busy. It was on a Monday night. By the way, Durango's just nonstop busy. It's bumping.
It's killing it. And I, as I said before, the Sundry is in, I don't know if it's in trouble, but they opened the hitting the ground running, and I think the Sundry is scrambling to keep up now. They just are. So Mayo.
Miho.
I don't. Okay, fine. All right. Where else, Sam?
And then if I don't often go to dinner at Esther's, but I went to a dinner at Esther's, and it's just phenomenal. Yeah, had the crudo. Noticed the crudo came and it had little basil seeds. You know they use these basil seeds as a little garnish atop the individual crudo pieces. And it looks like caviar. So I was kind of joking. It looked like kind of poor man's caviar, you know, like a caviar substitute or a vegan caviar.
Like, it looked like the chia pet stuff.
Yeah, it looked like chia. It did look a little bit like chia. But
like sesame seeds or something.
But it was on a mango. They had some sort of a mango reduction of ponzu mango, just beautiful sauce. And then they have these tangerines that they've lightly seared. It's just – it's an explosion of flavor. And I
Let's
had
crudo.
This is look, waxing there, poetic. Over
but
here.
Here's the thing: there is
the flowery phrasing.
I can wait. Their pork. They have a pork dish there.
I can't. Okay.
What have I?
I don't know. We're just getting a kick out of you today. I guess that's
okay. It. Well, that's
you liked it a lot. Okay. You like
Esther's stamp of approval.
Well, what do you think? I mean, my friend JB, friend of the show JB, has said that he thinks the pizza at Esther's is now better now than it was at the old place. What do you think?
Oh, I had a different opinion. I had one the other day, and I didn't like it more than I liked the ones at the prior location. But I remember when Chef Trees was talking about the new ovens, he goes, look, they're new. We're all figuring it out. And so there might be some learning curve on it. But but yeah.
All right. Good. Okay. Well, I've had one pizza there. I liked it a lot. So Esther's is great. Congrats to James Trees. Where else, Sam? Let's move this along.
No, I'm done. I didn't eat anywhere else.
All right, John, go.
Yeah, I'm on a hunger strike now.
he's the Marcel Proust of palate opinions. Okay. Where have I been?
I don't
think
Marcel Proust was rudely interrupted, but, you know, that's fine.
He should have been.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
A couple things.
For prolapse.
I got to say it straight. You know, we're going to do our croissant.
I was going to ask.
We're
going
to do our croissant. We're going to do our croissant bake-off. I had one this morning at Cafe Brege. Heads and shoulders, the best I've had in town. And you know I love Burgundy Cafe. You know I love 1228 Main. This was, I mean, buttery from Brittany. The chef, Pierre Gattel, is Breton. And he gets his Breton butter. And it just was melting in your mouth. And just explosions of butter and flakiness. And I went, Jesus F. Christ. I haven't tasted a croissant. And I thought we've had good ones. This one just took my palate to a different level. It just did. Incredible stuff. And he has a cafe there now at Cafe. It used to be takeout. Now they have a little restaurant on the side with about, I guess it seats about 30 or 40 people, where they have waitress service. They do quiches. They do all. I had a great cappuccino there. Alexander had a ham and cheese. It's so far if you live downtown. But, man, Cafe Brege is the bomb.
Someone messaged us and said the best croissant. His wife, who is like a true croissant addict, has found in town is at, what's the guy? Thomas Keller? Bouchon.
Bouchon.
Says the best one is in Bouchon.
Bouchon is very good. Had it multiple times. This one today had my eyeballs rolling back in my head.
How many croissants are we going to do?
We'll probably have to get about 10.
So we're going to divide and conquer.
And we're going to taste them blind. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to taste them blind.
How do we collect them all and have them all be fresh? And dispatch an army of volunteers.
I know. Or just here, have them all delivered here. Who knows? But we need to do that. Okay, so.
Can I ask, though? And I'm asking the guy who can't pronounce Miho.
Miho.
Is it Brege or Brige?
Brege. Brege. It's slang for Brittany or Bretagne.
I see.
They call the Brege. You see them all in Paris and in Brittany.
Got it.
It's kind of a shorthand for Breton, Brittany. So
it's 215 in Apache.
No. This is on South Durango near South Durango. This is where I need the food gal. South Durango and Flamingo around there.
Okay.
So South Durango. Now, it's not that far south. And it's not as far down there as you
it's
think
Fort
it is.
It's Fort Apache.
It's on Fort Apache.
I thought it was on Durango.
No, it's on Fort Apache.
Okay, Fort Apache. There you go. And what? Cross streets.
D.I.
There you go. Thank you. So I was only off by 4 or 5 miles.
Yeah, it's between Flamingo and D.I.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, if you get off Flamingo at the 215, you're right there,
and
basically.
Go up. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so, all right, thank you.
Go east and then go north.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cafe Brej.
See how good I am?
And for Scott, B-R-E-I-Z-H. Cafe Brej.
Oh.
Okay, so that's, I went to a new dim sum parlor house, Lucky House Seafood on South, maybe that's right, that's on South Durango. I have Durango on the brain. And took over an old pizza place on the east side of Durango. And, you know, one of the ways I judge dim sum places is when I walk in and I'm the only round eye in the place. And I walked in and it was, this place has no social media presence. It didn't even pop up on my Uber, like, you know, address place.
Yeah.
It's been opened, I think, 6 weeks, just a little more than a month. Jammed to the rafters with Asian Americans and Chinese Americans and Asian gastronauts.
Is dim sum like a brunch thing?
Yeah, it's a breakfast lunch thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's usually over by 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but they open at 9 in the morning. We had to wait. We waited for about almost 40 minutes to get a table. But it was worth it. It's really, really good. And I was, again, one time, just ate there one time, but we ordered so much food. And I think it was as most I ever spent on dim sum. I think I picked up the check. I think it was over $200 worth of dim sum,
Wow. Which
is a lot of plates. But every one of them was fabulous. So Lucky House Seafood for you dim sum aficionados. And then went to Legends Oyster Bar again. I put it on Instagram the other day that I don't like seafood very much, and off the strip, I don't trust it unless it's Japanese-owned or Legends, and maybe Other Mama,
yeah.
where I know they really curate the seafood they get. Too much seafood off the strip is just cheap, frozen, Asian-farmed, et cetera. But Legends Oyster Bar is really, really good. Beautiful oyster selections.
Is it oyster season right now?
It's oyster for another month or so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we went there and just stuffed
it,
ourselves.
You need an R in it, right?
Yeah.
Is that if there's an R in the month, then you can eat oysters?
Well, the saying is never eat oysters in any month without a paycheck in it.
That too.
Or an R.
Or an R. Got it. Okay.
So, yeah. So because I'll get into this, because oysters mate and they... They're androgynous. They switch sexes and they exchange.
Oh, we do that too now.
They exchange milky fluids in the warm weather months. I could draw you a picture.
No, thank you.
And they get weak and they get watery and weak, and that's why the true oyster lovers do not like oysters in the summertime.
Okay.
So that's why the R, hence the R thing.
I don't know if I can look at an oyster the same after that.
After the milky fluids have been exchanged, okay?
God.
And then finally,
pre-transitioned.
Izakaya Go remains a favorite. I love
Absolutely.
Izakaya Go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Wonderful place. My go-to is Izakaya Go for our...
They do discriminate against white people, though.
They do?
I always feel like... kind of look at me funny, and then they give me the worst table.
You know why? Because you're extremely white, okay? You walk
that'd be
in
the
with,
truth.
Yeah.
Can I get any
it's
more
like I'm
Eastern?
Glowing in there.
I know. Anyway, I haven't had that. But finally, drum roll, please. I finally went back to Piero's and had dinner with our buddy Bruce and Monica's wife. And we had
this is after you decided not to eat there last week.
Well, there was reasons not last
no,
week.
No, I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
I understand.
So I went back and just had a really, really fine Italian American food. You know, it's not Basilico, it's not Vetri, it's not that level of food, but you know, it's rib sticking Italian American food. You know, there's the old saying: the trouble with Italian food is 5 days later you're hungry again. that applies to Piero's. But the people are great. The service is fun. It's kind of a sports bar. It's been the same way for, 42 years there. And the manager is Pat Rost, R-O-S-T. She's 84 years old. She's the wine director and manager. She's there every night, I think they're open six nights a week. And she's still patrolling the place, curates the wine list, hits all the tables.
Wow.
It's kind of, it's such a throwback. It's fun. It's not, I mean, you have to go there with that in mind. If you have expectations of, like I say, the Vetries of the world,
yeah,
and, you know, the highfalutin Bobby Flay, Amalfi by Bobby Flay, it's not that. But what they deliver, they do very well. And I had a great time. And so Piero's and the drinks are great. And the wine list is a little more gentle than it is on a lot of other Italian restaurants in town. So Piero's, you know, people were saying to me on social media, did you lose a bet? You know, but I'm softening in my old age. Let's put it that way. Okay. So that's
prolapsing.
I'm prolapsing. I'm trying not to be prolix when talking about my prolapsing today. So that's that. And had a great, and now we're kicking to Ashley as we wind things up.
Oh, man. I don't know where I've been. went to Mott 32 for the first time.
Oh. Do tell.
I sat at the bar. Really loved it. It was just simple, delicious, yummy Asian food. Dumplings. Had some great wine. And then we went off to a Spiegelworld show. Oh. Have you ever done those?
No.
I don't think.
That's not my thing.
It's too young for you.
Yeah, I know. I know. You know, people making poo-poo caca jokes, you know, to a bunch of millennials going, oh, he's talking about her nipples. Ooh. You know, that
that's effectively it. And a circus all in one.
Yeah, exactly.
With oysters mating.
Yeah. Yeah, Spiegelworld is not my bag.
And then it was Mr. Hollywood's birthday, so we packed the wagons and went to L.A. to celebrate. And now I've got a question for you guys. I think nostalgia has a place for why you go to places like Piero's.
Yeah.
Because we went to Dantana's.
I love Dantana's.
Right?
Right there in Beverly Hills.
It's right on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Yeah, yeah.
It's this tiny shoebox Italian restaurant where the waiters have to basically shimmy around other booths get in. And they've got sass and the food is okay. Italian American food.
That's all it
is. But you're there to see all the photos on the wall and maybe see a celebrity walk in the door.
All those drunk old actors.
Yeah.
You know, had a TV, you know, a Western in 1987 or something like that. It'll be there.
Yeah. And I was sitting there happy as a clam, eating my mediocre lasagna, going, I'd definitely come back. And then I started feeling like a hypocrite because of how much shit we give Piero's.
Yeah.
And I go, I think there's a nostalgia factor that I have to allow.
Yeah, I mean, and at least, I love Dantana. Same reason, exactly. Now I know it's just kind of a sacred cow around here. Same thing with Golden Steer. I mean, I love Golden Steer. It's gotten way better in the last few years. But, you know, I don't think it's a top-tier steakhouse in Las Vegas. I think it's second tier. But it's such a fun place to be that the atmosphere makes up for a lot. I mean, and the food's never bad. It's just not that super refined, you know, heavily, you know.
It is classic. It's just classic.
Yeah. It's like your parents used to eat or your grandparents. And it's still good. So on that level, you've got to love these places.
Okay. And then the other highlight was the secret Japanese steakhouse.
Oh, you went to Todoraku?
Yeah.
Did you survive that?
Barely. Touch and go.
Yeah. Did you get really, really hammered like everybody does when they go there?
Yes.
You haven't been there yet, have you?
No.
I was going to take you sometime. But
we should go.
We've never gotten down there. Yeah, Todoraku is this. What do you think? It's just super exclusive. You have to know the owner.
There's
to get
no
in.
Sign on the wall or outside. So your Uber is like, is this where I'm taking you? Like it doesn't even look like a restaurant. You go up. There's all the windows are covered with blinds. You open the door and you're in a tiny room with table, divider, table, divider. And each table has its own little grill and you... Just there's no menu.
It's like nine courses of Japanese beef, basically.
Yes, it's incredible. It starts with like raw sashimi tasting plate, and then you go into tartars, and then you start grilling, and it's incredible.
And all the patrons bring their own bottles, and these are super high-end cult wines from all over the world lining the walls. Yep. And it's sort of the membership dues you have to pay to go there. You have to... the first time you go, you have to bring really, really good wine.
Or yes. You don't get invited back.
And then he gives you his card, and then he says, let me know when you mm-hmm. want to come back. And I've only been once. Some of my friends go there more often than I do. But it's, then you get them on speed dial, and all's good. But it's a fun place. My wife doesn't like it because she says just too much beef. And you
other
get
people
really
had
drunk.
Said that. I'm okay with the getting really drunk part. other people made the similar comment about it's too much beef. Like, good luck. You're like, see if you survive. Like, oh, you're going to be ill at the end of it. Absolutely was not.
Yeah, I thought the food was great.
Food's incredible. Yeah. The portion sizes. You're never overwhelmed. I left there and I was like, I don't feel stuffed. Yeah. I was entertained. It was interesting. So no, I. Incredible,
but and for Scott, it's Todo Raku. It's a Totoraku. I think is our
Ku. I think
Ku. Ku. Exactly. And it's when you they don't answer the phone or anything. I'm kind of interesting. You went there, so I'd like to go back, but I've got to gird my loins because I mean you basically polish off two bottles of wine a person. And then no one drives.
Just take me with you.
You've all got Ubers or limos lining up out front.
And then the last, I'll finish it. We went to DuPar's
for the pancakes.
And you know what? That's my Vegas tie-in because we have one here up at the Suncoast. If you enjoy pancakes and you're not going to DuPar's, you're not living.
Did you go to the one at Fairfax at the
yep, the farmer's market, the original, the OG. Yeah.
At Suncoast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there's a line
right in the middle of it. Yeah, right there.
You got to go earlier. You're going to wait in a line.
I think DuPar's kind of suffers here because it's
at Suncoast.
In the Suncoast.
Yes.
Sorry, but the one
at the farmer's market in LA had a line out the door for hours.
And talk about just great nostalgia food, but really, really well done.
Oh, yeah, so good. But yeah, there it is. Oh, do we want to do quick? Pet peeves?
Do you have pet peeves?
Pet peeves of the week. Pet peeves of the week.
You go, John.
All right. Okay. Real quick. Kind of a corollary to what I spoke about last week where, you know, I'm a man who generally doesn't suffer fools, but I get roped into these dinners and drinks sometimes with these real bozo idiots who want to meet me and then they have no game and they don't know shit, but they waste hours of my time. And I said about how a couple of them recently have showed up drunk. And I realized this has happened to me, not just with bozo wannabe food writers and influencers, but it's actually happened with some friends and relatives of mine over the years. And my pet peeve is this. It's okay to get drunk at a good restaurant, but it is not okay to show up drunk at a good restaurant. You know, restaurants are not nightclubs.
Don't pregame.
And in Las Vegas, I think you see it too often. They're not nightclubs. You know, when you show up, and especially if you're going to show up with people who haven't been day drinking all day, and you're like, this has happened to me a lot.
Did you go out to dinner with Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's a pet peeve because I've seen it happen too many times with me. It's happened. Friends of mine have done it, and it's really happened recently. And it's just terrible manners. If you want to get drunk at a good restaurant, have at it. That's drink up.
I was worried you were going to say don't.
You shouldn't walk in the door intoxicated, visibly intoxicated. You know, if you want to do that, go get yourself an In-N-Out burger, you know, and eat it on the floor like David Hasselhoff. Remember that?
Oh,
you've never seen that meme?
No.
David Hasselhoff drunk on his ass, lying on the ground trying to eat a hamburger. Yeah.
Not the Hoff.
Not the Hoff. Well, look it up. It's a meme. It was all around like 20 years ago.
Okay.
Anyway, don't get drunk before you go to a good restaurant.
I'm writing that note
okay,
to
so
self.
That's my pet peeve of the week. What's yours, Sam?
Dirty stemware. Dirty glasses that have... Can I show you a picture? I am coming with the receipt.
Ooh, so sorry for the technical difficulties. Please hold until Sam realizes it and hits the right button. But if you want to watch what you missed, please head to our socials at eTalk Repeat because our social person did hit the right button.
Poppy, but they need to fix this.
Yeah, a good point. I mean, glassware like that signals to me that they're not serious about wine. They're interested in slinging booze, but they don't really care about it. Because, you order expensive wine, you want it in a good glass.
Yeah.
Not even expensive, just decent wine. Mm-hmm. Okay, good one. Well, wow, we're calling somebody on the carpet.
Wow.
That's why you tune into this.
And podcast. I love Esther's, obviously, to the point where I'm getting mercilessly teased about it. But I will call them out on this.
Okay.
Because we are, what are we here? We are truthful.
We are truthful, yeah.
And not paid.
We pull no punches. All right, pull no punches, Ash, and give us. Let's wrap this up with your microaggression of the week.
It is so tiny. It is, you know, those tiny Tabasco bottles.
Oh, tinier than that.
When I go to a restaurant, and that is the only hot sauce a place has, is the tiny Tabasco sauce. There has to be a mob. There has to be some type of mob ties that is why there's only Tabasco sauce in a restaurant and that size.
She's putting up a little, like, one
it's like
inch
an inch, you know, like the little hotel,
yeah,
like.
Yeah, usually they serve those with like oysters sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Raw.
Like, I get that. Like if I order oysters, throw it on the ice, it's cute. It adds a little flair.
Yeah, a little color.
But going to a restaurant, especially a breakfast restaurant anymore in Southern California, Southern Nevada, and asking for hot sauce and the only option being Tabasco, and then multiply it by being the little Tabasco, that's a problem.
Yeah, we were someplace, and now it escapes me, recently where we asked for hot sauce, and they said, well, we only have, and they had Tapatio, which is good.
What was that?
Tapatio.
It's Mihu. It's Mihu.
It's Tapatio. How do you say it? I don't know. How do you say it?
Keep going.
Old round eyes over here.
Yeah. Again. Tapatio. Right?
There you go.
Tapatio. Yeah.
Tapatio.
Right, yeah.
Tapatio.
It's a Vanderbilt thing.
Where's your cravat?
Well, where's my cravat? Okay, well.
Oh, my God.
And now you've wasted another 45 minutes of your life on us. Love you.
Suckers.
All. Good night, Canada.
Tapatio. Hey, it's Ash, your favorite amateur and unpaid food critic. Have we influenced you to try any of our recommendations? If so, we want to hear about it. Be sure to follow us on social media and tag us at Eat Talk Repeat. You can also email us at cheers@eattalkrepeat.com. Send us your hate mail, suggestions, questions, recommendations, and pet peeves. We want to hear about it. Don't forget, like, subscribe, and leave the show a review. Bon appetit.